Baruch Hu is magnified because he creates some kind of rukhani yiddika pollution, which is not good for us. It's not good for us, the whatever cooking milk and meat does. That's the first issur. The second issur is eating meat and dairy that was cooked together. So if there's ever such a mixture of meat and dairy that was cooked together, even if it was cooked by a non-Jew or was cooked by mistake, to eat it is a separate issur. And the third issur is to benefit from basar v'chalav, which was cooked together. I want to begin with some examples of benefiting from basar v'chalav. And one example would be, if meat did get cooked with milk, somehow we'll give different examples of how that could happen in the house. But if it did happen, and the Rav says that it's asr, this is real basar v'chalav, so it would be asr to feed it to the cleaning lady, or give it to the cleaning lady to bring home. Similarly, to even give it to a dog outside, or even a stray dog, because there's a certain feeling of goodness, of a benefit of giving to even a random dog, even though it's a very small benefit. But all benefit, the Torah said, one's not allowed to have from bas and chol that was cooked together. The Shulchan Aruch discusses using a type of shampoo that was made from ashes from an oven that was used to cook milchig and also fleishig, and things might have overflowed, and now there's ashes of milchig and fleishig mixed together. Shulchan Aruch says such a shampoo would be mutter to use, even though there's ashes from both of them. But what's more practical is sometimes you can have these shampoos that have in a milk protein and different types of steroids, which are from meat, and they were cooked together. But that's mutter to use. That's not issur benefiting from basar v'chalav, because since each one, the milk and the protein, the milk protein and the steroids were processed before they were brought together, so it makes it already not right to be eaten, and therefore at the time when they're being cooked together is not a issur or basar v'chalav. So that would be mutter. Another interesting example that comes up is buying shears and companies where they sell basar v'chalav. You want to buy shears in a Burger King, in a Wendy's, in one of these places where they sell basar v'chalav. So is that considered that I'm benefiting from the basar v'chalav? And the answer is that since they have other products that they're producing or that they're selling, so your share will go for the other products. So it will be mutter to do so. Here in Eretz Yisrael, some paiskim are more machmir, and they'll make you sign a contract with the company or whatever the seller, that your shares are in those products. But the general psak is that it's mutter for one to invest in such a company. Now, the pasuk uses the lashon of leisavashal gedi. Gedi is a goat. From there, we see that not only a goat is included in this issur, but any kosher animal. Meat from any kosher animal could create a situation of the issur of basar v'chalav. And the Rabbanan came along and they took it a step further. They said not only meat from an animal, but also meat from any kosher bird, from poultry, is also included in this issur. However, we have to keep in mind that our issur from min ha-Torah, that the Torah doesn't allow, and birds, which means chicken and turkey and things like that, are only issur min rabbanan. One basic difference between the two is that we mentioned that the Torah said that one's not allowed to benefit from basar v'chalav. That's only true when it's on the level of doraisa, of min ha-Torah, which means if what took place over here was meat from an animal ended up getting cooked with some milk, however that took place, then this I cannot give to my cleaning lady to take home. But if it was a chicken, somehow milk got spilled into a pot of chicken and end up cooking together, the chicken I could give to my cleaning lady to take home. However, even though the Rabbanan added on meat from birds, but fish that they never asked, that remains mutter. It's mutter for a person to cook fish with milk. There are those that are concerned with sakana in mixing fish with milk. There are those that are concerned with that. But most B'nai Ashkenaz are not worried about that, and therefore we can have our lox and cream cheese sandwiches, which is fish with dairy. There are, again, those that are worried about sakana, which a lot of Sephardim are worried about that, so then they'll have to also not mix fish with milk. How about cooking meat and fish together? So we hold, even us in the Ashkenaz, meat and fish is a question of sakana, and therefore one cannot eat them together. We don't really know what the sakana is. Is it a physical sakana or a rukmi sakana? But it's a problem to eat them together. And when we say that meat and fish is a problem, it means the actual meat and fish. If there's actual meat and fish, then it's a problem. However, if it's just bliyos, if it's just taste that was absorbed into a pot, for example, I want to use my meat pot to cook my fish in, that would be fine. That's mutter. According to halacha, one does not have to have a separate pot to cook their fish in. There are those that do have that minhag to do it, but according to halacha, one does not have to do such a thing. If meat and fish did get mixed with each other, and one of them is 60 times the amount of the other, we'll learn these rules more further on, then it'll be mutter to eat it. But otherwise, we don't mix the two together. What's interesting is, though you relies on this sack of bittel, and that's why the Worcestershire, right, and they give okay to, even though there's some fish mixed into it, but they assume that it's bottle already in the sauce, and therefore mixing it onto meat won't be a problem. A very interesting story that took place more than once. I had the story, but it also took place with Rav Moshe Feinstein, Shmuel Birnbaum, and other people I had to say over the story, that Shabbos morning, one went to take the pot of cholent off the stove, and they opened up the pot, and they were taking out the kishka, and as they were opening the kishka, they realized there was a roll of gefilte fish that they made. So people don't really make gefilte fish anymore, do they? But okay. But that was in the day, so you had stored in your freezer gefilte fish and kishka. Now the question was, what's the story with the chal? So, if it was wrapped well, then all that's leaving the fish is what we call bully ice. Just it's going through the whatever it's wrapped in, whether it's foil or paper, and that doesn't bother us. And even if something leaked out, it's probably a very small amount that got buckled in the chunk, and therefore I would say throw away the fish and just eat the chunk. Okay, now, so far we learned that there's issa to benefit from basa that was cooked with challah. When it's meat, when it's chicken, one could benefit from it. We also said that the meat includes all kosher animals, and then we spoke about fish with milk and fish with. Now, the Torah discusses cooking. The Torah says, lev sevashel, you shall not cook. Sometimes the term bishel means boiling the two together in a pot of hot water or in a pot of oil, but it's with liquid. However, over here, the term cooking, the term bishel, includes all forms of cooking. such as boiling, roasting, grilling, frying, smoking with hot smoke, all that's included in the Issa Torah of Bishul. And therefore, in any if the meat and the dairy came together in any form of heat, with heat from a fire, however it may be, it causes a transfer, the heat causes a transfer of taste from one into the other, and this is Aser. It's Aser, according to the Torah, this is Aser. And then, like we said earlier, it'll be Aser to even feed it to a dog, or to feed it to your cleaning lady. Chazal came along and went a step further, and he said not only when it was infused together, to the one's giving, well, there's a transfer of taste from one into the other, but even if you would make a sandwich, I take cold meat and cold cheese and put that together and eat a sandwich of meat and cheese, that's also aser. In other words, Chazal came along and said, any form of mixing the two together, of combining the two together, will be aser. And like we mentioned before, again, here we have the difference. If the milk and the meat were brought together through the heat of a fire, and therefore taste is transferred from one into the other, so that's us on the level of the Torah, that's us to give to your clean lady to take home. But if it just got mixed together cold, so then, if you give it to her, she can take it home and enjoy it. There's an interesting shaila came up back in the days when in the apartment buildings they had these incinerators where one would throw the garbage into the chute, or go down on the bottom, there's a fire, and burn up the garbage. Perhaps Reuven dropped in there a bag of garbage which has in it meat, and then I'm dropping in a bag of garbage that has in it some leftover leaven, some leftover yogurt. And now in the fire, the meat and the dairy are cooking together. Do we have to worry about that or not? Another example, this came up. There are demonstrations. You know, part of our life here in Israel is demonstrations in the street. And sometimes they get a little courageous and they decide to burn garbage cans. Is it wanted to burn the, besides the, it's a gezel. Do they have to worry about them burning the, Matzah Shabbos, you can have a good chalent in there, a leftover chalent, and then from Lav Malka, some leftover milchi. So there was a Pesach actually in Yerushalayim, a very famous Pesach, who he used to make sure that the Bedatz puts on the signs not to burn the garbages for this reason. However, the accepted stock is that in both of these cases, it's that Hilchot, bust of a chalav, there'll be no problem, because since it's getting burnt up into ashes, into nothing, that's not the Issa Basav Chalav. The Issa Basav Chalav is when it's being cooked together and now it could be eaten, now it could be served, now it's something. You did something over here. If it's just getting burnt up into nothing, then that's not the Issa Basav Chalav. So a practical case would be if, let's say, my baby, we have a fleishig, and then the bib has on it some fleishig, and then the baby had some milchig, and there's some yogurt dripped on it. And now I want to wash the bibs all together. Or perhaps towels, shmatas, which has some grease from fleishing, and then some leftover milking on it. And I want to wash it on a hot cycle. Do I need to worry that in the wash machine, it's being cooked together, the remnants of the dairy and the meat are being cooked together? The answer is no, because you're not creating anything over here. It's just getting washed away and it's gone. So that's not a problem. You're just destroying them. If it's just destroying them, then it's fine and that's not an issue. So that would be no issue. There are certain situations where Chazal came along and said that there may be what's called maris ayin. Maris ayin means that it looks to the outsider that one is doing an iser. And Chazal were concerned that we have to do things that others will not assume that we're being oivar an iser. So when for example, margarine first came out, there was a big discussion in the Paiskim. If I would walk by a fleishiga table, they eat meat, and then on the table there's some margarine, and he's smearing his bread with margarine. The first thought I had is, whoa, this guy's eating basar chala. So in order to get out of this problem, the Paiskim said you have to do some kind of hecker. Put the wrapper over there. Put the wrapper of the margarine on the table so people will right away see it. Ah, okay, it's not a problem. Soy could come up with a problem with soy products. So here in Israel, soy products are very common by the Israelis. So therefore, it's so common that no one wouldn't flash to their mind that he's eating a milk with a fleishig if there was a soy hot dog or something like that. Or perhaps in America, it would be an issue. Or parva ice cream. Parva ice cream. That also, when it wasn't so popular, was a question. So really nowadays, there isn't really a practical case. It's not relevant nowadays because most things that we have already that would bring to the store, creamers and things, it's so common that when I would see someone, my first thought would be, oh, it's creamer, it's margarine, or something like that. So therefore, that's not an issue. Now, Chazal went a step further, and they wanted us to stay away, far away. They wanted to stay far away from any Issa Basa V'Chala. So they said that at one table, you should not have meat and milk on it at the same time, and vice versa. I'm sorry, you shouldn't have on the table meat and milk at the same time if you're eating one of the two. If you're eating the meat, you shouldn't have milk on the table or any dairy product. When I say milk, I mean any dairy product. If you're eating dairy, you should not have any meat product on the table. However, on the counter is fine. If you're just preparing, that's fine. Or if you're not eating at the table, that'll be fine. But if you're eating at the table, you're eating one of the two, you should not have the other type on the table at the same time. If two people are eating at the same table, and one's eating dairy and one's eating meat, sometimes you see this in the street, there's two restaurants next to each other. One's a pizza shop and one's a fleishig restaurant. And then there's tables outside. And two people will sit down at the same table. One's eating dairy, one's eating meat. So if they know each other, and they food with the other person, then in order for them to do this, they have to put down on the table some kind of hecker, some kind of reminder to remind them, one second, you can't share. I can't take from your pizza a piece to taste it. If they don't know each other, then there's not a problem. But if they do know each other, then you must put down some kind of hecker over there to remind them. Now, what about if I'm eating supper, I'm eating fleishig, but my baby's sitting in her high chair, and I want to feed her milchig. So then we could say it's two different tables, like you're at one table, and the baby's at the high chair, but the baby's at the same table, so then one has to be very careful. They have to then possibly, we need a hecker if the baby's sitting at the same table. Baby's eating milchig or eating fleishig, then you don't come to taste the baby's food. Unless it's in a bottle, which is not normal to taste from the bottle. But this is all if you're actually eating. If I'm not actually eating, even if I'm within my 6 hours from eating fleishig, and then there's no issue. I can feed the baby milchig, that's okay. But when one person is sitting at the table alone, according to many Paiskim, it doesn't help to put a hecker. So if they're eating one type, they should remove from the table the other type. Or at least separate it that it's not within hand reach.
That's a question?
Yeah.
If you don't use a hecker, then it's aser? It's recommended? Or
no, Chazal did not want me to do it.
Okay. So if you're feeding a baby by the table and you don't have a hacker and they're eating cheese and you're eating meat, then it's us.
You're going against the Ratzon of Chazal. Chazal did not want you to do that.
Okay.
If you're actually eating the meat, that's what I'm saying. If you're actually eating meat and you feed the baby...
like by a Shabbos table, everyone's eating meat and the baby's eating cheese. So you need to put down...
So, and the baby's sitting at the table, not at a side chair. Was that clear? If the baby's sitting in the high chairs, that's like two separate tables. That we're not worried about. If the baby's sitting at the table, the table, so then already that falls into this halacha that you would sometimes take something to taste from the baby's food.
Okay.
So as you said, a bottle, I don't think it's common that you can take a sip from the baby's bottle, so that you don't have to worry about. Okay, now it's brought down also that one shouldn't use the same drinking cups that they use for milchik as for fleshi, because even if everything's cold, again, this is already more of a strong suggestion. And I think it's usher, but it's a suggestion because we're trying to stay as far away as possible from any possibility of mixing milchik, and there, it's very possible sometimes there could be some grime or some leftover of the other type left on the cup, and then when you're drinking it will go down together. Similarly, it's brought down in the Paiskim that one should have, is that not clear? Yeah.
No, I just have a question. What about using glass utensils for milchik and fleishig? I wanted to ask
milchik. So it's, again, it's mutter, but is it... that's included in this idea that if possible, as much as possible, to keep things separate and have two sets. Again, halacha, yes or no, it's matzah. However, if you're using it for milking and pleasure, is it suggested to have two separate? Yes, it's suggested. Strongly.
So if you already use something for both, then okay, just continue not to?
It's not a problem, and as soon as definitely better not to.
What about a bottle, like those, what's it called?
Measuring cups?
Camelback?
No, not everyone.
Camelback, yeah. Well,
Contigo.
Contigo.
It's like a
right.
Washable water bottle.
I had a piece
that someone puts their mouth on.
Right. So again, if you use it while you're eating milchik.
Yeah.
And then you can use it while you're eating fleshy.
Yeah.
As a suggestion, it's probably suggested that you should try to have two. But if you eat the fleshing and afterwards you drink from it, or you eat the milk and afterwards you drink from it, then you don't have to worry about it.
And if it was used for both, then it's fine?
Yeah. It's 100% kosher. 100% kosher because everything's cold. Mm-hmm. This is just, again, to try to, as much as possible, separate things so that we don't run into issues.
So today I think I'm going to ask this question. I can put chicken soup in a melted cup.
Cold or
hot? Hot chicken soup.
Okay, so we'll discuss that in a later share. Exactly, we'll get to that in a later share.
What happened today? Is that a problem?
Okay, so you have okay, so we'll talk about it after. Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same question that she asked, but what are there fleshed glass, if I was drinking glass that was found in a milk sink that had hot water.
Yeah, we'll discuss that also. We'll get to all these mistakes that happen slowly. Let's first get there. Yeah.
Does that apply also to a glass for a hot cocoa, or the one
that's
hot
is different? So glass. Okay, we'll discuss that also. We'll get to hot. We'll discuss that. Okay. These are good questions, and hopefully we'll get to everything in its right place. So tablecloths. Back in the days, it was very much suggested to have two different tablecloths, or at least if you're eating on the table, you eat one type on the table itself, and the other type you have a tablecloth. And that was because it seems that they used to put the food straight down on the tablecloth. Nowadays that we have plates and we put the food on plates or in bowls, there's less of a chance that the food's going to end up on the tablecloth, and then when you're washing it, it won't get washed off well, and then you'll come to eat it with the other type. Therefore, theoretically, we'll be fine. Is it suggested again to have separated? Yes. Now, as you can eat on, use the tabletop for milching, and then when you place, you can put a tablecloth on it. But again, it's as a suggestion. There's no issur if you don't. It's a suggestion. Am I allowed to use the same tablecloth for milking and placing if I wash it in between in the washing machine? 100% yes. That is no problem. As long as your washing machine works, should not be a problem. The issue with the amount over here is, if you're not washing it in between, you're just wiping it down or washing it, even if you're spraying it, but there could be still some schmutz left over there. Again, it's a suggestion. Not as much as it used to be when you used to put the food directly on the tablecloth. But still, could be suggested. Okay, now, in terms of what time are we going to? What time are we supposed to be going to? Okay, let's just be going to the next step. Okay, now, Chazal were here. They were so concerned about this bus of a challah that they created all these different preventions to prevent us from coming to mixing even on a very basic small level of the two together. And another thing they instituted was the waiting after meat. That one waits after eating meat before they eat dairy. And there's different minhagim. Everyone follows their minhag, whether it's 1 hour, 3 hours, 6 hours, 5 hours and 45, whatever their minig is, you follow your minig. The waiting begins from when you finish eating the meat. So on Shabbos, when you're eating the suda in the morning, you look at the clock when you finish eating the meat, even though dessert extended for another 3 hours, or whatever it may be. The suda, the benching wasn't for another hour. We go after when you finish eating meat. If one's not sure when we finished eating the meat, it could have been 5 to 1 or 5 after 1. So one could try to make some kind of estimation on their own. It has to be reasonable, a reasonable estimation, but they could try to figure out it must have been around 1, so pick 1 o'clock. Even though maybe it was a little after, a little quick. But as long as it's reasonable, that's fine. The reasons, again, Chazal, why did they institute this halacha of waiting between meat and milk? So there are two reasons given by the Rishonim. One is that you might have some taste still in your mouth from the meat, and then when they eat the milchig, when they eat the dairy afterwards, they'll be swallowing meat with that taste, and I'll be swallowing the milchig with that taste of the meat in my mouth. The second reason is because they're worried that maybe there's a piece of meat that got stuck between my teeth, and when I eat the dairy afterwards, the meat will go down with the dairy. So again, these are worries that Chazal had just on a, it could be then was much more common for these two worries, but still it was just trying to prevent this mixture. Now, what happens if someone just chews the meat? Let's start a step before that. Someone's cooking and they would taste it with their tongue. They just spit it out. That's not a problem. They don't become fleshing and they don't have poison. What happens if someone chews it and as they're chewing it, they realize one day I'm chewing a piece of meat. It's not a piece of cake. It's a piece of meat. However that mistake happens, it does happen in a shiva dining room. But you chewed it and then you spit it out also. You do not need to wait 6 hours. Suggest to wait at least a half an hour, but you don't have to wait 6 hours.
Is this like what healthy to do if you're cooking, you want to see something?
The taste it with your tongue and then spit out, that's fine. Okay. The chewing case, maybe that's not lechatchila, but if you did it, it's not a problem either. Now, the chewing you shouldn't do lechatchila because the whole part of the head is because you didn't mean to eat it. Okay. Now, sometimes Erev Shavuos, you're cooking milchig and fleshig for the milchig suda, for the fleshig suda, and you tasted the fleshig, you ate it, and you swallowed it, and now you realize that tonight's suda is the dairy suda, and you're still fleshig. So, there's room to be makel in such a situation. There's room to be makel because it's the suda of yontif. There's room to be makel in, but any such situation, one should ask a shayla and find out what to do. If someone's weak, and needs to eat meat and then milk, which sometimes comes up by nursing or pregnant women, or they just give birth sometimes. But it has to be that they're honest with themselves, that that's what they need. And it's very possible that that's what they need. There are real craves and there are some other craves. But if they're being honest with themselves and that's their, they feel that their body needs it, so then wait an hour and that'll be fine. What happens if someone made a bracha on a cup of milk? Or they had coffee with milk in it, and they made the bracha before they drank from the coffee. They remembered that they're fleshy. So halach is you should take a sip of the milk and take a sip of the milk. Now that I took a sip of the milk, can I continue eating milk? Mm-hmm. Or I'll give you another example. I forgot that I was fleshing and I started eating milk. Can I continue eating milk? In my opinion, once you start it, you can continue.
What? How long is it?
If it may be better to wait an hour, but you don't have to. So again, if your husbands have different opinions, I meant to say that beforehand. I've got all these halachas from here onwards. Is the way I received from the way I learned it in my Rebbeim. But if your husbands have different opinions from the way they learned it or from their Rebbeim, they have kedima. Okay? Or they can discuss it with me.
So yeah. You need the bracha on the coffee, you should drink whole coffee.
Yeah.
Why can't you just take a drink of oranges with it?
Well, if you're holding the cup of milk in front of you and there's no oranges in front of you, the bracha didn't go on the oranges.
Isn't it better to say like Baruch Shem Kavayim or whatever? You
Baruch
Shem. Not Baruch Shem.
Yeah, Baruch Shem. Yeah. Baruch Shem doesn't undo the bracha levatala. It's tshuva after you did it. So you did a bracha levatala, now I need to do tshuva, so I do Baruch Shem. But it doesn't undo what you did. So you don't want to have to do Baruch Shem.
Is it because bracha levatala is the right choice to do about it?
No, that is true. Partially.
Why is milk going to be darban?
Why?
Why is there a darban?
Because the rice is only if they were cooked together.
Oh,
this is even... I'll tell you the longest, but you definitely will lose me and you won't come back. So, my pigeon had been, for my oldest son, so I said over a long shtickle terror at the pigeon event, which was the first mistake I made. My shver was kicking me on the staff. And then a lady walked over after and said, oh, if I ever thought of becoming a lamdan, it's over. So I learned my lesson from that. Okay, so I just want to end off. So so we spoke about weak people that are weak. Children, the din chinuch of waiting for children is as follows. The iser that you're not allowed to do is to feed the child milking and fleshing together on at the same time. You can't give them leaven and or yogurt, and at the same time when the yogurt's in their mouth, feed them a piece of chicken. Or have them drink their bottle while they're eating the meat. Or the chicken. That we're not allowed to do. But for them to eat first meat and then give them a bottle of milk afterwards, that's fine. If it's possible to let them maybe give them a drink of water or eat something else in between, definitely better. But as long as it's not at the same time, there's no issue. However, we have to keep in mind that when this girl grows up and she becomes 12 years old, or the boy becomes 13 years old, he's going to have to start waiting 6 hours, or whatever the minute is. And to tell someone overnight you have to wait 6 hours is very difficult. So therefore, the accepted minute is that at the age of 7, every parent can pick the age they want, but let's say 7. At 7, they wait 1 hour, 8, 2, 9, 3, 10-4, 11-5. And then by the time they're 12, they're already trained to wait the 6 hours. So that it's not a shock overnight. That is the din of chinuch. There's a discussion about hard cheeses. Hard cheeses. Now, the reason why there is a discussion about that is because hard cheeses could leave over a fatty taste in the mouth for a more extended amount of time. And we're worried that then you'll eat fleishig and then the fleishig will mix with that fatty taste. Now, the fact is that so first of all, if the cheese is melted, there's no question at all. The some want to say that maybe this halacha applies to Parmesan cheese when you're eating it plain in a salad. However, I don't see why it should be a problem at all, because from the people I've asked, if they ate it, it didn't leave over any fatty taste in their mouth. So even though by meat we said you have to wait 6 hours afterwards, even if it doesn't leave over a fatty taste, that's a given. Then Chazal told us. But for us to come along and say that the hard cheese is like that halacha has to leave over a certain taste in the mouth. Therefore, practically from the cheeses that we have, even the hard cheeses and the different types of cheeses, what a hard means, you need a saw to cut into them. So any cheese that you don't need a saw to cut into them is not a hard. That's the out phase. Step number one is you need a saw to cut into them. And even if you can tell me that Parmesan cheese has that, but I don't see it leaving on a fatty taste, therefore, practically, maybe if you fly out somewhere and you have the blue moldy cheese, then you have that issue. But otherwise, I don't think you have issue from the cheese that we have around us. Okay, so we just went through a lot of different halachas, which are negated to preventing any issue of basar chalav on a basic level. Next week, we'll go into what happens when you have transfers of hot and cold, and what's to do with the kalim and things like that. Okay.